Wow, it's good to see all of you. Good morning, church. Wonderful. It is so wonderful that we can come together and fellowship and worship our Lord together. It is so good to see all of you physically and be able to greet some of you who didn't see you for such a long time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, this morning, we will come together to continue to learn from 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter. We start since 1st of May until now. So today, we will cover 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 12. Yeah, we will complete the book by the end of July. My sermon this morning is The Living Stone and His Chosen People. Now, please have your Bible open. Yeah, if you need a Bible, you can find it behind the pew. Open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 12. Verse 4 to 12. And I also have the scripture on the screen if you need it. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by human, but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of Him who call you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friend, I urge you, as foreigner and exile, to abstain from sinful desire, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Lord's Day. We can come together to worship you and to hear of your word and to fellowship with one another. Thank you, Lord. As your words being proclaimed, dear Lord, give us a humble and open heart to learn from your teaching, an obedient heart to submit to your commandment, a thankful heart to be grateful for all that you have done for us, and a heart that belong to you and will always love you. And live out your teaching in obedience to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen. Amen. All right. Today we have 8 verses to cover. However, these 8 verses are some of the most beautiful and profound verses in the book of 1 Peter. And it is the very familiar verses for many of us. I hope this morning you will find the excitement in exploring the profoundness and the staggering beauty of truth in these verses. I will have 2 points in this sermon, obviously from the title. Point number one, the living stone, and point number two, his chosen people. Point number one, the living stone. Let us start from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human, but chosen by God and precious to him. What is this living stone? Why Peter, in metaphor, referred Jesus as living stone instead of, as you come to him, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, rejected by human but chosen by God and precious to him? There are two aspects of why Peter used these analogies of living stone. First, Peter wants to point out that Jesus is the Messiah who was foretold by the prophet. Verse 6, for in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. See, Peter refers and quotes from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, was prophesied by prophet Isaiah. What Peter was trying to say is that Jesus is the chosen and precious cornerstone laid by God for all the people. In Acts chapter 4, verse 7 to 12, after Peter performed miracle of healing to heal a man lame from birth in Acts 3, the high priest asked Peter, and Peter replied back to them. The high priest brought Peter and John before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, ruler and elders of people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stand before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builder rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other's name under heaven given to mankind by which we must save. This is the theme throughout the book of Acts, where Peter points people to Jesus by saying that he is that cornerstone rejected by you. You have rejected him. He is the Messiah sent by God to you. Yet you rejected him and you put him on the cross. And he died on the cross. And he's a sinless man. Yet you crucify him. You persecute him. It is very powerful testimony and witness of Peter. This is what you have done. Because they will remember when Pilate asked them who you want to release, Barabbas or Jesus. They said, the murderer Barabbas or Jesus. They said, Barabbas, release him. And may the curse be for us and our generation to come. They're even willing to receive the curse by release Barabbas instead of honor Jesus, accept him as the Messiah. That's why Peter said, this Jesus, in his name, this man, this man of lame, is healed. This is a theme throughout the book of Acts. This is a testimony of Peter. So Peter here used the same thing to point us to Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He is that cornerstone. And salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must save. Again, Peter quotes in Psalm 118. Let us come to Psalm 118, verse 17 to 24. Let me see if I put it here. Okay, here you go. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gate of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Siamese is rejoicing because the Lord chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open me the gate of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. And because of this entry, I'll be able to enter into this gate. You have become my salvation, the stone the builder rejected. Who is this you? Why does Psalmist refer the stone as you instead of it hath become my salvation? The stone hath become my salvation. No, he said, you have become my salvation. So the stone actually referred to the Messiah, the coming Messiah, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is found in no one else, but there is no other name under the heaven given to mankind by which we must save. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And this is the cornerstone, okay? So, what is a cornerstone? Cornerstone is a big stone that lay at the corner of a temple or as a building. In this context, it is a temple, okay? This stone being laid there so that to support the integrity of the building. All two different directions on the side of the building will align together with that cornerstone. And then that cornerstone will support the integrity of the building, because the pressure will come toward the cornerstone. And the rock will have to align perfectly and precisely together with that cornerstone. Okay, so this is an image of cornerstone. So, and our Lord Jesus is the cornerstone of the everlasting temple of God, which God proclaimed to David. You see, this is why Peter used the word living stone. It is so profound. A word living stone reveals the truth from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now another verses I want you to look at, that's what in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord declared to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestor, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. God is talking to David. Who is this you? It's David, okay? David wants to build a temple for God, a house for God's dwelling. But God declared to him, I will build my own house. That's why he said, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. God is the one who established his kingdom. God will be the one who built the house. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So who is David's descendant that can inherit that kingdom forever? Is that Solomon? Is that any other descendant of David? No. All of them buried in the ground today. The only king in that throne will last forever. The only temple that will last forever, it is the descendant of David, promised by God, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, he said, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Whose throne can establish forever? Whose house and kingdom will endure forever? Before God. The King Jesus. King Jesus and his the house that he built. So God built his own house with the cornerstone that he laid through his son, Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 2, verse 19 and 21 and 22. After Jesus cleansed the temple, the Jewish come to Jesus to question him. What sign can you show to us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. But the temple he has spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recall what he had said. Then they believe the scripture and the words that Jesus has spoken. You see, even Jesus referred himself as the temple to be resurrected in 3 days. And the temple he was talking about is his own body. This very temple of God that going to last forever is built on the foundation of Christ as the chief cornerstone. And this temple is a living temple. It is not formed by the dead stone, but is formed by a living stone, which is Christ himself together with all the believer. So that's why Peter said, the living stone. Can you see how profound it is, this single word, living stone? If it brings us throughout the different scripture, it's all pointed to Jesus Christ. And it's a meaning, the meaning is so compact and is so profound. We must study the scripture carefully and we be able to appreciate every aspect and every angle of it. Christ is living because he rose from the dead. He is living stone. He is alive from death. He has living relationship with all of us who believe. He gives life which he has in himself to all who come to him. That's why the word come to him, the living stone, is so powerful, that short verses. And verse 7 it says, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Okay? They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. And for all of us who come to Him, we'll be like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house. When we come to Christ, when we believe, we become like Christ, living according to the Father's will. We will then also, like living stone, being used by the Father to build into His spiritual house, where God Himself will dwell among us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, Paul told us that, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus Himself as chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple." Holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Beloved, church is not this physical building. You and I are the living stone through Christ Jesus. We are being built out as a spiritual house for God's dwelling. We are the church. You don't come to the physical building of the church. You come to the body of the church where God dwells in the midst of us. I'm not sure if you have thought of this. When we come to Christ, the living stone, we have the life of Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." This verse is from our favorite song, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." Okay? So, we are the body that come together, built by God to be the church of God, not this physical building. So, brother and sister, when you come to church, don't think that you just come to the building, because you are part of the church. You are part of the body of this church. You don't come to the physical body. You are the body. So, brother and sister, come as a family. Come together, because we need you. Because you are part of us, and we are part of you. And we are the church. It is so amazing, right? We are the living stone that formed the spiritual house. We are the spiritual house where God dwells in. It is not just that Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, our God, but we are in Him and He is in us till eternity. How marvelous is that? So you don't come to church to worship God. You are part of God dwelling. Can you envision that? Church is not like temple, you know, you go to a temple and pay your respect and worship. You are the church, and God is in you. When we come together as a church, God dwells in us, dwells among us. So there's no such thing as your relationship with God and you can just worship apart from the church. No. You see, if you are that stone and you are apart from your body, doesn't matter how strong you are, how powerful you are, how perfect you are just a brick of stone. But this break of stone, when they come together, it form a beautiful body, form a beautiful church of God where God dwells in. So, brother and sister, do you know who you are? You are part of the church. You are one of us, and we are part of you. We are joined together. We can't function independently, just a stone. If we function independently, we are just a pile of stone, a pile of rock, even not a pile, just scattered rock everywhere. What is the use of that? There's no use at all. Only when we come together, we form the church, and God dwells in us, among us. So, brother and sister, dear beloved, I want to ask you a question today. Is Christ precious to you? Is He the center of your life? Do you love Him? Is He precious? Do you spend time to fellowship with Him in prayer? Spend time, read His Word to know more of Him? Do you abide in Him and abide in His Word? Jesus said in John 8, verse 42, "If God were your Father, you would love me." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him." Brother and sister, our mark as a Christian is not how much we serve or how much we do, but with all of our weakness and all of our failure, how much we love Christ. Do you love Christ? Is He precious to you? None of us is perfect, okay? But do you love Him? That's all He's asking for. All of us are sinners, and we have flaw and weakness. But if we love Him, and if He is precious to us, and that is our mark to be a Christian. You see, do we live for Christ? No longer I who live, but Christ live in me and through me. It is seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. It is not my ambitions, but what is the Father's will. And this is how we live our Christian life. If you love Jesus and Jesus is precious to you, you will say this: "No longer I who live, but Christ live in me and through me." Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Seek the Father's will. "It is not my will, but your kingdom come and your will be done." It is not a duty to live a Christian living, but a total surrender my life to live for Christ. Brother and sister, we can serve without love our Lord. But if we love our Lord, we will definitely live the life for our Lord. So, check yourself. Check your heart today. So today, two men of pulpit preach about what you can get and how you can be blessed if you come to Jesus. But we rarely hear about carry your own cross and follow the Master. "As for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How many of us say that? How many of us hear the pulpit preach of that? It's getting lesser and lesser. I like this morning pastoral prayer. We really want to persist and stay fast and resist the false teaching and resist the teaching that itches to our ears and our heart and our flesh. It takes strength to resist that. I'm not saying our church is doing that right now, but this is a reminder that put at the back of your head and always be sober and look out. We must stay fast and keep to the truth and truly look forward and insisted wanting to hear only the true teaching and the true gospel. Even though sometimes the truth can be very convicting, it's not easy to hear. But it is the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see? So, let us be very careful and really stay alert, beloved. We are not here to build church for ourselves, but a spiritual house of God where Christ is the cornerstone and the living stone. That leads us to our next point, His chosen people. His chosen people. Okay? Christians are not only the temple of God, the spiritual house. And Peter said that we are the chosen people, holy priesthood, and royal priesthood of God, a holy nation, and God's special possession. I connect verse 5 and verse 9 together. All this calling is not separated but connect together. Being priesthood of God, meaning that we can come before the mighty God and serve His majesty, is a great privilege. Only His chosen people and the people who redeemed by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, the people who come to Christ and accept Him, the people who born of God and adopted into His kingdom can have this privilege. Have you thought of that? Every time when we go to these verses, what runs across your heart? Do you see how privileged it is? Not everybody can be called God's chosen people and the royal priesthood of God, the holy nation, the special possession of God. No, not. It's only you who come here and come to Jesus and receive Him. It is so special. Know your privilege. You are standing at the very privileged ground that you are here today. You are called to be the living stone who formed the spiritual house that dwelt by God. You see? Only us can come to Him, talk to Him, bring our petition to Him, to represent Him to the unbelieving world, to be the mediator between God and the world, and come before His throne to serve Him. This is a great privilege, being Christian, being the people of God. It's not a burden. Very often when we talk about prayer, we think it is a burden. No, it's a privilege. You can come before God, come before His throne and bring forth your petition. When we go out to share the good news of God, we thought it is a burden. No, it is a privilege. Look at it again, that you become the mediator between God and the pagan world. It is a privilege when you can serve in the church and around your own area, because only the special chosen people have this privilege to do so. Brother and sister, today I hope you don't look at this privilege as burden. Sometimes we've forgotten. Sometimes we take it for granted. You are exchanged by the blood of God. You are exchanged by God, one and only Son, redeemed you so that you can enter into His court to be called His priesthood and His people. You are specially possessed and loved by God. It is not because you are good. It is not because you are talented. It is not because you have great strength. It is not because you are so smart and you are so successful. It is because He loved you and He chose you. Let's take that into our heart to know that you are precious to our Lord Jesus Christ. You are precious to our God the Father. Verse 10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Can you ever imagine now, today, you no longer be the people of God? Can you accept that? Can you accept that? Can you accept that today you no longer can enter into the court of God, can no longer pray to Him, and no longer be able to enter into the kingdom of God, which is heaven? If you take God for granted, let's reverse it and think about that. What if today you no longer the chosen people of God? You no longer the people of God. You no longer have the privilege to pray to Him. You no longer have the privilege to serve Him. You no longer have the privilege to be the mediator between the world and God. Try to imagine that. Then probably it gives you the perspective how privileged you are to be called God's chosen people. So my question for you this morning, are you in His team? Is He precious to you? Second aspect, we are chosen for a purpose, to offer up spiritual sacrifice and to proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Okay? First of all, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is that? Under the new covenant, every believer in Jesus Christ is holy priest. A priest, as priests, we offer spiritual sacrifice to Jesus. Spiritual sacrifice replaces the material sacrifice of the old covenant. What is our spiritual sacrifice then, you ask? Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brother and sister, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." As royal priesthood, we are called and set apart to serve Him wholeheartedly. So, first of all, we are to offer our life as living sacrifice. And since our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we present our body as living sacrifice. We yield our flesh to God as an instrument of righteousness. And last of all, we surrender our will to God as living sacrifice, just as Jesus surrendered His will to do the Father's will, so do we. You see that? What is spiritual sacrifice? From Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we know that it is to surrender our life wholeheartedly, to surrender our body, and to surrender our will to do the Father's will. Surrender our will is an ongoing battle. This sinful nature that resides within each of us will battle for supremacy. Our selfish desire will want to take charge and rule. It is an act of spiritual sacrifice when we willingly crucify ourselves and embrace surrender to the will of God. And embrace and surrender to the will of God. We chose His way rather than our own way. Now, we can also see from the scripture how this offering of spiritual sacrifice looks like. Okay, let's see from the scripture. I don't want to tell you from my own word. Let us look at it from the scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it said, I have crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ live in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, when we come to Christ, this is how we should live our life. It is not I who live, but Christ live in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Today, how we live our life? We live for ourselves or we live for him? Is he live in us and through us? Is Christ live in us and through us? Or still our will be done? Or his will be done? Which one? He so loved us and gave himself for us. Rightfully so. It is he should be living in us and through us. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. Let us go through this slowly. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. For the flesh desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Spirit of God will always conflict with our flesh. So if we do what we want, we will not submit to the Spirit leading. We will not lead by the Spirit of God. Christ will not live through us. But if we are living the life that led by the Spirit of God, which is also from the Word of God. Okay? The Spirit of God inspired the Word of God. Then you will live according to the Spirit. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish, ambitious, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let us always examine ourselves with this word here, with the verses here, how we live our life. Do we live according to the teaching of the Bible, leading by the Holy Spirit, or we live according to our flesh? Because if we live according to our flesh, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's because Jesus is not precious to you and you have no love for him. But if you truly love him, and if he is truly precious to you, you will value what he has done for you and his love for you. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearing, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. See that? When we live by the Spirit, this character will display from us. Love, joy, peace, forbearing, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When those who truly love Jesus, and Jesus is precious to them, you will see the gentleness, the tenderness, and the love that display in their life. You see, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. Have you crucified your flesh with the passion and desire of yourself, your flesh? Let us continue meditate on these words and examine our life, how to live the life that is truly honor God and express our love for him. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Yeah, that is what we should rightfully do. Let's look at the next verse. Do not be, from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reap what he sow. Whoever sow to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believer. So what are we sowing today? Are we sowing flesh? The flesh will reap destruction. If we sow to please the Spirit, then from the Spirit we'll reap eternal life. What are we sowing in our life today? Dear beloved, it is proper for us to offer up this spiritual sacrifice because what Christ has done for us on the cross. We are not doing this out of duty, but from our heart, out of our love for God. Now, we come to our last part of the purpose of being God's chosen people, to declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into the wonderful life. Now, have you ever come to your mind, why has the Lord granted us all this wonderful thing? Why has he so lavished blessing to us and blessed us? Grant us all the privilege with him. Why has he given all of this to us in such magnificent fullness and abundance? Why? The answer is here. So that you would declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Why we live a life as such? Why we live, want to live, surrender our life to him? Because he called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Why we want to live for Christ? Because he called us out of the darkness into wonderful life. Without him, we have no hope We have no light. We are destined to die, to be death in hell. Without Him, we have no hope in this life and no hope for the life to come. So, today, do we want to proclaim His goodness and His praise to the people around us? Peter is talking about giving your testimony when you praise God. But if in your life there is no appreciation and gratefulness and joy for what God and what Christ has done in your life, you have no testimony to give. You have no testimony to give. You have nothing. Your life will not be attractive to anyone around you. But if Christ is truly precious to you, and you truly love Him, you will experience His goodness. You will be so thankful for Him. You are in awe before Him. You will sing praise to Him, what He has done in your life. Then you will have a testimony to proclaim His praise to the people around you. But more than just the praise and more than what you proclaim, you can see verse 11 to 12. Dear friend, I urge you, as foreigner and exile, to abstain from sinful desire which wage war against your soul. Live such good life among the pagan that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deed and glorify God on the day He visit us. What it means in the thing in which they slander you as evildoer, they may, because of your good deed, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. It is a combination of what you proclaim of the excellencies of God and how you live your life. So proclaiming the excellency of Christ with your mouth and then live out the excellency of Christ in your daily testimony. Today, persecution comes against Christians in all kinds of form, in all kinds of culture. How we live our life is important to the world. It's important to bring the glory to our Father. It's important for the world to see. If we don't proclaim His goodness, the world will not know. If we don't live the life according to the excellency of Christ, the world will not see. That's why we are the body of Christ. We are the spiritual house of Christ, so that we can show the world our God, our wonderful Christ, our wonderful God, and what He has done in our life. So, in this wicked, perverted generation, fallen world, what do we do in response to it? We proclaim the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, we live out those excellencies because we have Christ in us. We live out those things in the face of non-believer. We live it out in the face of the world, so that in the very thing in which they slander us as evildoers, they may, because of those good deeds, one day glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, brother and sister, is Christ precious to you? How should we live our life? What should we proclaim with our mouth? He is the living stone. And when we come to him, we are the stone who form the body, the church, where he will dwell in us forever. Are you part of it? Are you part of the church of Christ? Dear beloved, when you come to the living stone, when you come to Christ, united with him, abide in him, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, let us live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be imitator of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, a fragrant of offering and sacrifice of God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ had done for us. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Father, for your wonderful word today. It is so beautiful. It is so profound. Let us take it to heart, truly immerse ourselves into this word, truly with the conviction of our heart, live out this word in our life. Because you are so precious to us and you so love us. So my Lord, for the brother and sister here today, they found that they don't have this love for you. You are not precious in their life. Father, I ask with gentleness and tenderness and mercy, you reach out to them and you touch their heart and you show forth yourself to them. So you are so real to them. They experience your love. They experience the tenderness of your Holy Spirit. And they experience the tenderness of the Father. So that they too will come to you, the living stone, to be this precious people of yours and the holy priesthood of yours and the special procession of yours. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.